already started to get into this, but we're going to go real into the tech nerds, geek stuff. Now, why don't we just start from scratch and tell us what is in your studio?
Let's see. A lot of empty beer bottles. keyboards. I've got I'm looking around. A lava lamp. Gear, what? Mic pre's, monitors. I use two sets of monitors.
Okay, since you're doing a lot of music production, how big is the studio you're working in?
It's a decent size. It's not like massive, but it's enough that you know, I could fit if I bring in some guitarists or a fiddle player, or I could even set a drum kit in here if I wanted to.
Okay, so you could fit a whole kit in there. All right.
Yeah, I could. Yeah, yeah. It's big enough. It's not enormous, but it's spacious enough that I could do what I need to do in here comfortably. And
let's talk about first. Let's just start with your computer system.
I'm a Mac fanatic.
Yep. Okay.
All Macs, all Apple stuff. I use my main studio machine is a Mac Pro.
Okay.
Just completely maxed out. I love it. It's been great. Very reliable.
Your Pro Tools?
I use Pro Tools. Yeah, I love Pro Tools. I have a MacBook Pro that I also use, one of the newer ones that sometimes I'll do some stuff on that. You know, sometimes I'll actually take some scratch tracks and transfer them to my MacBook Pro, go upstairs and maybe flush out a better mix or start changing some instruments around. And I'll just do it on my couch with headphones on and the MacBook Pro.
Pro Tools in the studio. Are you running an HD system?
No, I'm not running HD at all.
What's your interface then? Would you have a Digio 3 or something?
Here's what I do. I've got... I run Pro Tools M-powered, okay?
Oh, okay.
But what I do is, I don't like... The M-audio interfaces are fine, but there's better out there. And so what I did is I bought... I used converters from a company called Apogee, which I think they just make great stuff. So what I'm able to do is I'm able to use the converters, the analog to digital, digital to analog converters on the Apogee, and still use the M-Audio interface. But see, the benefit of that, I know I'm probably sounding a little confusing at the moment.
No, you know what? Talk about go where you're going. I'm going to come back to the ADDA converters.
Okay. This is the setup I have. This is my signal chain. Okay. Mm-hmm. I've got some different mic preamps here. I've got a Universal Audio LA610, an Avalon 737. And those go into...
I think most people know that. Yep.
Apogee ensemble. And it has really nice converters on it. So basically, all the audio is going into the Apogee ensemble and being converted to digital there. And then it goes into the M-Audio interface through ADAT. But now it's already converted to digital. So now there's no more conversion going on. And that's how I'm getting the audio from the Apogee ensemble into Pro Tools and back out.
I want to talk about the converters real quick, but the M Audio, the Fire, what was it called?
It's
again?
Called the ProFire 2626. It's probably one of the best interfaces M Audio puts out. It's really nice.
But you're just using that for one input, basically?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a waste. I actually didn't need to get the big one because I'm not using any. It's got all these inputs on it. I don't use any of them. I use all the inputs on the Apogee, and then I send... Out of the Apogee, I send it into the M-Audio interface via ADAT. So it's literally bypassing all the analog conversion that would happen on the M-Audio, and it's just going right through it into Pro Tools.
So So anyway, talk about the digital converter real quick. Why is that so important?
Well, you know, and especially with music production, because if I'm not doing, you know, hooks by Steve Sykes stuff, I'm working on, you know, building music for library catalogs, or maybe I'm doing music for a spot or whatever. The fact is, I'm always recording music. And I thought with this, I said, you know, it's a little more critical. The quality is a little more critical when you're making music, I think, than it is. Well, I don't want to say that it's more critical than imaging, because I don't want to be that guy, but... I just thought, you know...
Well, that's all right. I mean, in your mind, it is.
Well,
so that's
I don't know.
Fine.
The thing with this is that, you know, I'm making everything from scratch. So I wanted to make sure that every single little sound I'm sending through into Pro Tools is, you know, as clear and clean as I could possibly get it, you know, with the gear I have. You're never going to get, when you're recording to a computer, you're never going to get the sound exactly as you hear it in real life. That is just the nature of digital technology, because you're essentially, you're taking an analog signal and you're converting it to ones and zeros.
Yeah.
And something always kind of gets lost. So basically what you're looking to do is kind of get it as close to the original source as possible. And the better the converters, the closer to the original source it is.
If there's like a voiceover artist listening, which there are plenty that do.
Yeah.
We've talked about it in the like the realm of music, but in your opinion, and here's what I see happening, voiceover artists are constantly talking about what mic they are going to use and how much money they're willing to spend on their mic, and then they're always talking about their preamp,
yeah,
or possibly an EQ slash compressor they put their stuff through. But for a just a voiceover artist, in your opinion, how important would it be to actually spend some cash on an ADDA converter?
You know, it's tough because I've heard some really good recordings done on just, you know, like a M-Box or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's pretty important. The thing with VO, though, is you got to understand the human voice has limitations when it comes to frequencies. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
I think a preamp is really important, though. Yeah. A really good, high-quality mic pre. I think that was something that, you know, I used to back in the day, I was using some stuff. It was okay, but it wasn't until I started using some more high-end mic pre's that I started to go, wow, it kind of opened up my eyes as to how important a really good mic pre is.
From the converters, I want to talk about mics, because a lot of people are, and I know you have a lot of them, right? What are the mics that you love and some that maybe haven't lived up to expectations?
Well, we have mics from a company called Blue. We have a few mics from them. We've got some microphones from Rode, which, you know what? That company Rode, they make some mics that are fairly inexpensive, you know, compared to the big dogs. But I got to tell you, they sound great. And if you ask, if you don't want to take my word for it, find somebody that uses microphones from Rode and ask them what they think of them, and you'll hear rave reviews. They make great stuff, and it's really not that expensive to get their mics. So we have some mics from Rode, Neumann, of course.
Mm-hmm. Oh, real quick, have you seen the TLM 102?
Yeah, I've seen it. I haven't used it, though. I don't know much about it. I haven't heard it.
So you don't know what the difference is supposed to be between that and the 103?
I don't know the difference, but you know what, man? Neumann, they make great stuff. I mean, they really do. I feel like Neumann's one of those companies you just can't go wrong. I mean, okay. they make great microphones.
What about Lawson?
Lawson. That's the newest mic we have. It's this company out in Nashville called Lawson Microphones. And you'll call them up, right? And you actually talk to the guy that makes the mics. His name is Gene Lawson.
I was just going to say.
He's this old timer. He's been doing it forever. Yeah. And they have great, great products. I mean, their stuff is awesome. And the service you get is great. They have a 10-day trial period. So if you buy one of their mics, try it in the studio, and you're like, it's not for me, he'll take it back. Or he'll fine-tune it. We're actually going to send ours out, I think. Well, we've been thinking about it to get it fine-tuned a little bit.
Real quick, a condenser, tube, dynamic? What?
I've got a few tube microphones. The Lawson's a tube mic. Both of our mic preamps are tubes. I'm kind of becoming this tube fanatic.
Aren't tubes a little more difficult to use?
It's funny you say that. I was just kind of bitching about this the other day to one of my buddies. I had to replace the tubes in my LA610. It's just kind of the nature of using tubes. They die at some point. And when they die, they sound really crappy. But when they're on and they sound really cool, man, there's just, you can't emulate it. I mean, you could get a really cool crackle out of them. There's like
right, but isn't there something kind of organic about them?
Yeah, it's like, it's a really nice way to warm up digital, you know, kind of cold digital stuff. Like, I've actually gotten into this new habit of taking soft synths, you know, like some of these synths I'll use in Pro Tools.
Yeah.
Sending them out of Pro Tools into, say, like my LA610. Like, if it's a mono synth, I could send it into the LA610 and have it hit those tubes and get kind of crunchy and, you know, maybe a little, it makes it a little warmer, and then bring it right back into Pro Tools, print it as audio. And I'm like, oh, cool. That sounds really neat.
I wanted to, boy, you know, we could probably talk gear for a real long time.
I love talking on this stuff.
And so you're using Pro Tools 8.0 or 8.03.
Yeah, using Pro Tools 8, yeah, it's great.
Let's get into more of what you do when you're making a jingle.
Yeah.
For those of us that have a little bit of musical inkling, I like to dabble. I create production beds and that stuff.
Big bad beds, right?
Right. So where does it, like, okay, you've got a new client and you're going to just make completely new jingles from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
What do you start with? Drums, vocal, guitar?
I start with, it always ends up going back to the basics. I plug in my Gibson Les Paul and I start working on chord progression.
Okay.
I start fleshing out melodies. I am a melody fanatic. It is the most important thing to me, is that whatever I'm doing has a great melody that sounds current.
Is that why you married someone named Melody? That,
you know, kind of works out. Yeah, yeah.
Was that a
no,
bad joke?
I mean, I start with the melody, and that is, you know, my the way I work is I try to create, because obviously you've heard my stuff. We don't do like the kind of the Z100, that kind of stuff. My thought process is when I'm working on something, I think to myself, if this was a song, would the artist sing this melody and would it sound right? Because if you took like, Katy Perry or, any Lady Gaga, any artist that's hot right now, and you said, we're going to write a new song, a new track for you, and here's how it starts off. I am sexy. Mm-hmm. It doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound like, you know what I mean? It doesn't sound like current music. So what I do is I don't sing the station name, right? So I wouldn't be going, you know, singing XL 1067 or Kiss 979. I don't sing that. I actually sing lyrics in my head. I sing words. And then I take that melody and I convert it into a radio station frequency or moniker or slogan, okay, or whatever. That's how I kind of start. And then as far as production goes, I usually will lay down a scratch track of a beat. So sometimes it'll be like a simple beat, just kind of a basic 1, 2, 3, 4 kind of thing. And then I start layering different sounds, whether it be keyboards, guitars, whatever, just to get the basic kind of idea. And that's when I go back and I just start tweaking the hell out of it and replacing synth sounds, mixing up the beat so it's a little more syncopated and a little bit more kind of moves a little better, or, you know, whatever. But it always starts with just rough scratches. I hardly ever start with this just like great idea right off the bat. It's always just kind of these rough ideas that get sketched into something more polished.
And you have it completely, the music completely done by the time you get the vocalist in there.
Sometimes, but you know, I have a vocal session coming up here tonight, and she's going to be singing over scratch tracks. But that's all they need sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
It's just the nature of this. I have to get this stuff done fast, so in order for me to be able to get this stuff produced over the weekend, I don't have the music ready, so I'm like, just going to give her the scratch tracks, let her do her thing. I've got the melodies worked out, and then I'll go through and I'll redo the music. You know what? Sometimes, actually, I love to work with a vocal first, because it's really fun to kind of like tweak, like around, play around it and start making up different little bass lines and different melodies, and I could just tweak forever that way. I actually have done some overseas projects like that where the vocals were already cut.
Interesting.
And they sent them to me because it was in a different language, and I don't have singers out here that can sing Cantonese or whatever. So they sent me the vocals, and then I made the music around the vocal, and I was like, this is a kind of a cool way to work. I don't do it all the time. It's just not practical. But, you know, every now and then that'll happen.
So
and I'll come up with an idea that I didn't even think of before.
So you have somebody like me who does not have all the money in the world. And, you know, there's thousands and thousands of different awesome synths and plugs and, you know, all sorts of software tools that you can get.
Yeah.
You know, I've stumbled into a couple in my day that I use every single day. And then I own some that I paid good money for that I've used maybe once or twice.
Right.
In your head, are there things that you can say, you know, yes, that's something anyone who's interested in creating their own music has to have?
Let's see. I'm very happy with Pro Tools 8 because it comes with some really great synth stuff right off the bat. You know, in virtual instruments that anybody that doesn't have an arsenal of plugins like I do, just to get started. Mm-hmm. I mean, man, you can't beat Pro Tools 8. Also, Logic, man, dude, the sounds that are in Logic are ridiculous. I mean, it sounds great.
Are you using Logic though ever?
No, I don't use it. Okay. I don't use it, but I'm very familiar with it. Yeah. I've heard some of the work produced in it, and I know how great it sounds, and it's really nice. I think that's partly why Pro Tools 8 is so, you know, detailed now, and it's so robust with features now, because Logic was giving it a run for its monies. But
Digi in the 7s were really, you know, putting a lot of their effort into MIDI and their synth, you know, their virtual instruments.
Yeah,
you know, they've been doing that since like 7.1, 7.3, somewhere in there. And you're right, with 8, they really took it another step.
They really stepped it up, man. There's some really great sounding stuff right off the bat. I mean, I'll use instruments from other companies too. But you know, I could get away if I wanted to just use some of the, you know, obviously there's certain things like that I have to just, it has to be the real deal. You can't emulate a guitar with a synth and have it sound natural. So, you know, guitar stuff, we do that all live. We record it. You know, they're just, like I said, there's just certain things you can't emulate. But, you know, if you're doing a track that needs to sound like a Lady Gaga song or Kesha, you've got everything you need to make that track in Pro Tools 8 without any other plugins.
And you're going to give me a couple snaps of a couple screenshots.
Yeah, I'll throw you some, you know, I just did some new tracks that I'm really happy with, and what I'll do is I'll send you a screenshot, and you know, it'll be labeled so they know what track it is if they wanted to go listen to it on the hook site or whatever.
Well, if you can also even point it out in your demo, or send me maybe the track separate.
I can send you the MP3 too.
I'm gonna lay them out side by side on the show notes page.
I give them a little inside look into what a hook looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. And then also, if you pop open some of the plugs, like maybe you're using Expand, and people will be surprised.
Yeah, Expand. I like the Oxford plugins. They used to be Sony Oxford. Now they're Sonix.
Sonox or whatever.
Sonox. Yeah. I like Oxford. I would be lost without Melodyne. You got to have Melodyne if you're doing vocal stuff or AutoTune's great too. But Melodyne, man, it's so awesome. I mean, the stuff you could do with that.
Well, explain what you do with that.
Well, you know, like I want to get the takes right without having to tune them. So, you know, most of the time I'll have the singers do the takes until it's exactly like I want it. But every now and then you get a different idea. Like, what happens when the singer leaves and you go, oh, crap, I should have had her go have her go up there, you know? But I was going to say, but if the singer does go sharp or goes flat and you're like, that's not working. With Melodyne, you could completely adjust it in a natural way so it doesn't have that kind of, you know, tuned sound to it. You could just make it so natural. But like I said before, the singer leaves and I got a different idea, I could actually change what she sung, make her go up where she went down, or create a harmony out of her lead vocal and do some kind of crazy effect with it. I mean, it's just awesome.
So Steve, let's magically and instantly bring your lovely wife and voiceover artist extraordinaire, Melody Sharp.
Why, hello.
Hi, Melody.
That's the magic sound of her walking in.
Oh, is that how I sound? Yeah. That's good.
Now, you've been doing the voiceover thing for a little while. Before I start, I just wanted to say that one of the best imaged stations in the country was my competitor, and they had Scott Matthews.
Barry
Corbin. Love Scott. Scott's the man.
Yeah. Scott is the man. And they had Melody Sharp with my man, Fat Matt Ganzel, producing it.
I love him, too.
So I just want to pay you a huge compliment and say that station sounded as good as it could.
Thank you. Well, you know, that's funny because that's the very first station that signed me for a year-long retainer. That was my first contract.
That's a pretty good one, I would say.
I loved it.
A monster country station in the country market.
Right out the gate, man.
I owe that to Matt. Fat Matt was just incredible to work with. He was so awesome.
Yeah, he is amazing. He was one of my first interviews, and he's very low-key and subdued, but you hear his stuff, and it's awesome. You are married to a pretty amazing producer. What has that done for you as a voiceover artist?
Oh, you know, well, first of all, seeing, you know, the greatness that Steve Sykes is can be, you know, a little annoying at times, but it's actually pretty inspiring. I mean, now he's going to get
annoying.
All weird here, but he's just one of those crazy people that is always learning, always motivated, and it kind of kicks me in the butt a little bit. It makes me want to do a little bit better and work a little bit harder. And but he's actually the only reason I'm doing this today, because I didn't actually try to do this. It just was kind of a weird, wouldn't you say? It's kind of a fluke.
Did he lock you in a whisper room and force you to do it?
I was whipping her. Talk.
Right.
Talk some more.
No, it was just kind of random one day after work, after I was a traffic reporter, and after my shift, he was like, listen, come in here. I want to see your voice on my new microphone. And
it was a TLM 103 that I had brought into the radio station. I was like, here, just talk on this thing.
Here, I want to hear a chick voice. And then all of a sudden, bam.
I was like,
okay.
Boing.
So you, is this right? You actually met at work? Tell me that.
That's a Steve story to tell.
Well, she was a part of this crew of,
you can say it, interns.
Hot little interns.
I was an intern that
was working at KSLZ. And
so, no, I wanted his job. That was what was frustrating.
I know. And in her defense, dude, she was having none of it. I was trying everything I could to mack it on her. She would have none of it. She was trying
to learn the hot production skills, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, this is what set it off for me, because she walked in one day and said, she was listening to me work on some imaging, and she goes, could I play something for you? And I was like, yeah, you know, I had no idea what this was going to be. And she comes in with her laptop, and
you assume it's just going to be a disaster.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, here we go. Here comes the weird, you know, college project or whatever.
Which
and
it was.
Dude, she plays me this thing, and I was literally blown away. I could not believe that this girl, this young college girl, produced this just vast piece of scenery. It was audio scenery.
Hey man, I didn't just throw a little flange on something. I worked it up pretty
big. Yeah, dude, it was a full story with characters and sounds, like create, like painting the picture. You know, stuff was panned and EQ'd
and reverbed. Yeah, but
then I listened to
the Steve production stuff, yeah. And I'm like, okay, I'm fighting a losing battle here. Let me move on to something
else. Wait, real quick, Melody, do you actually still have that audio?
Yeah, I think so. I do have it somewhere.
Oh, you got to send it to me.
Oh, no. It's all about NSYNC. Come on. This was 2001.
Yeah, so that dates our, yeah. Our meeting a little bit. This was back when NSYNC was really popular.
I know.
Didn't you sing on this?
Yes, I did. That's another reason I won't send it.
Oh, dude, you have to send it.
Dude, she was singing harmonies with JC or something.
I mixed my voice like to do the harmonies with JC on this piece.
JC Chazé?
Yeah.
See, I know the guys in NSYNC. I don't know what that says about me.
Yeah.
Well, she finally got to meet JC.
I wanted to meet JC and I wanted to meet Richard Marx, so I can say I fulfilled my wishes.
Mark.
Wow, that's cool. I guess the other reason I want to bring you on is, you know, how important is it for you to actually know someone that produces radio imaging as someone who voices radio imaging?
That's actually, that's one of my biggest benefits, I think, because Steve, just as a producer, knows innately, you know, how a producer would want the VO to sound. So, I mean, I use him far more than I probably should. He's just a great sounding board. I mean, and even if you're not living with someone, it's a great way to get advice from a producer. You know, what type of read would you want on this? Do you want this to sound with a little attitude-y? Or it's a good sounding board to use, I think.
How for you, because I actually get, doing what I do, I have a lot of people email me all the time asking about doing demos for them and how do you break into the radio imaging VO world and all that. For you, what's been the biggest things that have gotten you gigs?
Well,
I mean, agents or your demo, you know.
I would say, you know, along the road, the first thing was just, you know, I'm not going to lie, knowing Steve, I mean, he had some friends and that's kind of how it got out there. But I owe a lot to some of the PDs that I've known for a while have literally taken me from station to station. And I mean, I owe them everything.
Mm. Tommy Chuck at FLZ.
And Michael Bryan.
At XL. She's got, you know, it's amazing. The relationships she forms with her clients.
I love
it's,
them.
It's, yeah, it's really weird.
I've heard that from some of the bigger named guys that they actually will take time and fly around the country sometimes and actually stop into some of their stations and say, hi, I'm your voice guy, just to put a good relationship together.
Yeah, anytime we're in town, in a new town, we always check the people out and just say hi, spend a little time. It actually changes the dynamic a little bit when you know someone face-to-face.
Well, it makes it a little more difficult for them to fire you someday.
Absolutely. That's my technique.
Mel's too sweet, though. Even if you wanted to fire her, you'd feel bad about it and you'd be like, never mind. Let's just keep her.
Well, hey, Melody, thank you for jumping in here.
I think
it was a good extra dynamic to add.
Good to talk to you. Thanks.
Okay. Get the skirt out of the room. We got man stuff.
Boys club.
Get out of here, woman. Go make me a steak.
Whatever.
Rare, bloody, blue.
Where's my bear?
As we round down here, though, it's been great talking to you, Steve. You know, we'll probably have to check in with you again someday.
I'd love to. As you can tell, I like to talk a lot.
Yeah, you know,
probably
we could do too much. We could do some real detailed test. Like, we could probably do 30 minutes just on, like, one brand of microphone.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and you're going to have to tell me what you think of our little surprise coming out of the Hooks by Steve Sykes production facility.
Dude, I'm so excited. I think, actually, at this moment, I'm deciding that I'm going to conclude the interview with it.
I think that's a good idea. You'll have it just in time.
Okay, good.
To debut it.
You know what? Let me just get to the final question here.
And
I basically, at this point, have to promise that we'll check back in with Steve Sykes someday. What is the one key piece of advice that you would give any young up-and-comer doing any form of production?
You know, I think the best advice I could give would be to diversify yourself. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. If you love working with audio and you want to do imaging and whatnot. That's cool. But, you know, also learn everything you can about how the tools you're using to put that promo together or commercial or whatever, because those same tools can be applied to other things like music, running live sound, et cetera, et cetera. And now your skill set can be applied to more than just one thing. So like, let's say you lose that radio job. Well, you know, now maybe you could go work in a recording studio or go work at an agency or I don't know, something like that. So just, you know, just don't put all your eggs in one basket. Learn all you can and try to run with that.
Great piece of advice. I always get great pieces of advice from everybody I talk to. To round it out, can people contact you? I mean, do you get emails from people often?
I do. You know, it's okay. Funny. I get a lot of messages on Facebook. I have nobody following my professional Twitter, the Radio Sykes one. Everybody's following me on the personal one, mm-hmm. the one that's just kind of me not really talking about work. So, you know, you could find me there. I'm just going to put that one. It's I am Steve Sykes, Twitter/ I am Steve Sykes. If you want to, you know, follow me on there and talk to me on there.
I'm going to link to all this stuff on
the
site.
Yeah, or just email me, SteveSykes@RadioSykes.com. And, you know, I always love talking to people. So it's
well, that's
know,
good.
Totally cool.
You will get emails. I certainly get them. And I think most guests that I have on get them whenever I put the contact info out.
Great.
And it's good for people to be able to ask you, especially if you have any aspiring, like, you know, music producer types or jingle producer types.
Yeah, I love talking about this stuff, man. Yeah. And especially since I got into doing this hooks thing, it is interesting. I am getting a lot more music people and jingle people contacting me now. People that I just thought maybe might necessarily just be imaging guys. Now I'm finding out, well, you know, actually I'm kind of getting dabbling with music a little bit. And, mm-hmm. and I think that's great. You know, I love talking about that stuff. So, you know, what kind of stuff are you using? How'd you make that beat? How'd you do this? And I'm like, well, you know, this is what I use, dude. And,
well, that's great. That'll round it out, man. Steve Sykes, everybody, thank you so much.
Thanks, dude. Ryan on the radio.
Ryan on the radio. Okay, part two, complete, and how do you like that? It's almost too good. I heard that, and I'm like, wow, that is a legit jingle. I'm kind of a kooky bastard that doesn't really need high-quality stuff like that, right? Actually, believe it or not, that was Steve singing. No, she was from MTV. I wish I knew her name. I don't know if I know her name, but I can't remember right now. My voice is about to officially die, so anyway, thanks again to Steve for that. That was nice. I'm not even sure how I'm going to use that. Like I said, it's too good. My friend Gavin, young friend in Utah, Gavin, has a review for us, which I will give. I'm just going to play you a 30-second snippet to end, which hopefully will entice you to the website to hear his entire review and see a couple of screenshots on the product. Sonar. And now that I think about it, I know absolutely nothing about Utah. I know Salt Lake City. They had some Olympics there, I believe. I know Big Love, which I'm sure Utah is very proud of. And I just thought of the other thing I know about Utah. I was, quick story, coming from Vegas to Colorado. I was in college, so it's been a few years now. And I got pulled over. I was doing about 130. I'm not even exaggerating. I was literally doing 130 plus, and there was a big semi in the right lane, so I blew past him on the left side, and guess who was driving in front of the semi? A cop. So I pass him like he's stopped. He ends up finally catching up with me, pulls me over. I end up pulling off the highway in front of a gas station, so there's 30 people looking at me. Anyway, the reason this story has funniness is back then I liked to partake in a little of the wintergreen skull dip. Yeah, whatever. It's disgusting. Go screw. So at one point, and there were multiple of us in the car, at one point a spitter got spilt. This is important because when the cop leaned into my window, he said, "Hey, but," and as he's opening his mouth, he gets punched in the face with this odor of what must have seemed like some sort of mint schnapps, and he drags me out of the car, assuming I'm hammered drunk, makes me do the DUI test. I pass it with flying colors, and I explain to him what happened, and he couldn't believe it. So he let me off with a warning. He completely forgot about the fact that I was driving 130 miles an hour. I left Utah and have never gone back. Okay. With that, thank you so much for checking out the episode. I will leave you now with 30 seconds of Gavin's sonar review, which will be a new segment every time I do a podcast, a new review. You can check out the full review on the website, ryanontheradio.com. He has some screenshots there. And again, if you missed all the show notes, you can check them all out from Steve Sykes. There are a ton to be done there. Jude Corbett will be coming up next. I also am going to go across the Atlantic. I got a couple different guys I'm working on. And I know Ricky Rue at KDWB is still coming up. If you have any guest suggestions, fire them on in. Just go to the website. Everything you need to know, ryanontheradio.com. Until next time, bye.
It doesn't require hardware or an iLock, which is great. You can do real-time processing, or you can just drag and drop different plugins onto the actual individual audio clips and add audio effects in that sense as well. The only downfall that I can think of for this is you have to pay, I think it's about $20 to be able to encode MP3. But that's not too bad considering you pay that for the iLock in order to run your plugins with
the producers. The producers. Send your questions, feedback, guest requests, love, and of course, constructive criticism to show at ryanontheradio.com. Episodes available through iTunes, other podcast sites, and ryanontheradio.com. We thank our guests for their expertise and time. We thank you for listening.